I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Lenny Tischler. He's a composer, musician, and he's director of Freedom Work 2 Folk Forms and Variations, which is a concert happening this Saturday, the 11th of April. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And George Jeter is here. He's past president of the Santa Fe NAACP. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Mm-hmm. So, this is a concert coming up, which is a jazz suite in five parts. Tell us about the music of this.
Okay. So, I've been writing this music for a long time, but I've been writing music for a long time. This piece is a piece which evolved, basically, I think, from the Gulf War is when I first started writing it, and you know, videotapes and TV programs of what I saw was some incredible brutality just started me writing this piece. And part of it was some of Saddam Hussein's soldiers came into a wedding in Kurdistan and started brutalizing and killing people there. And it was right in the midst of a wedding. So it started out as a piece of music called A Wedding in Kurdistan. It then evolved into a five-part piece, which I say is dedicated to the universal struggle of freedom and justice.
And the form is jazz, how many people?
It's seven pieces. But, you know, here's the other thing. It's also, you know, I always say that jazz is the language of America, because it's the irony also, because it's the music that was given to us by the people who have been enslaved and oppressed. And that music that came out of that experience has actually defined American music. I'm not the only one who said it. Antonin Dvorak said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said that African-based music is actually the music of America at a time when America was having an identity crisis about what was their own music. Charles Ives began to define that also, but it was Dvorak who said it's the African music that is going to define the language of American music.
I mean, it's interesting when you think about what can really be called American art forms. I mean, jazz, tap dancing. I mean, they're things with African roots.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're, I mean, you look at, and of course, here we are in New Mexico, which has much less of an African or African-American presence than a lot of cities, but, I mean, there are really strong arguments that American culture wouldn't be a whole lot of anything without the African influence.
That's the irony.
Yeah.
That's the irony of it. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit more about the piece. So
when
you compose something like that based on an idea, like a theme, like something that bothered you,
mm-hmm.
and then you make it into a form which is fundamentally abstract, namely music,
yes.
what's that process like?
You listen to your body and your feelings. And so the first part of the first section is called Kaddish, because it wound up becoming a lament. It was a sadness. It was a grief. It was an anger. And the thing about the Jewish Kaddish is that it's sung at funerals, but it's not about grief and anger. So I wanted to transform those feelings into something that was hopeful and optimistic. And in the Kaddish, what that is that we mourn the death, but we affirm life.
Now, is Kaddish a musical form?
Kaddish is a prayer which is sung at Jewish funerals. Okay, so that it's an affirmation of life. May there be peace, abundant peace, and may it come from heaven. And that's one of the phrases from the Kaddish. Okay, and I have that. So the first section is sung, and parts of it are sung, and I've revised the Kaddish from Ravel. Maurice Ravel actually wrote a Kaddish, and I've taken some of that from Maurice Ravel and incorporated it into the first piece, which is sung, and it's also dedicated to Martin Luther King, which we do later on in the second part, final part. But that's the first part, is the Kaddish, which is, yes, there is all this violence and oppression and all this horrible part of our history, which is, you know, from our slavery and oppression and the whole civil rights movement, you know, especially now with the movie Selma coming out, we're reminded of that. But for those who are our age, we remember the civil rights movement, and it was a very emotional time for us. It was a crazy time, a wonderful time, a horrible time, all that. The second part I called Night Dance, and Night Dance into Dawn. And it's an experience based on an experience I had about the whole concept of free expression, which is what's related to jazz. Jazz is free expression. Okay. So I had this experience in New York City one night as a kid, going to a jazz club and then going to some all-night kind of crazy party. I call it an Andy Warhol movie, and it was some man said to me, "You're a good kid. I'm going to take you to this party. You come with me," you know. And he called me Quiet Thunder. He goes, "You know, there's a lot going on in that head of yours, but you're not talking. I'm going to take you someplace with me," you know. And we went down 7th Avenue, and I wound up in this incredibly, you know, I'm just a working class kid from New Jersey, right? And all of a sudden, he takes me into this completely sophisticated, incredible basement of human beings dressed up and gorgeous women. I've never been around women like that in my life. You know, I'm just a goofball kid from New Jersey, right? And dancing and, you know, and I can hardly remember it because the next thing I knew, it was dawn and the sun was out and we all went home. So it was an experience for me. But what I experienced in that was, there are human beings that know how to be happy and free and in this basement away from all of that, you know.
Now, so, were you a musician by that time?
Yes, I was. But I was hanging out in jazz clubs, too. I mean, I'm a 17-year-old punk kid. You know, we had neighborhood bands, you know. And I was also a jazz fan. And it happened as, I mean, this could be a longer story. My mother had a cousin that came to visit us. They lived in Queens. And she came in with her husband. They were older at the time. And the husband noticed I had some jazz records on the stereo. And he leans over to me and he goes, "You like jazz, kid?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "Well, I own a jazz club in New York City." He says, "Why don't you come there? But don't tell your mother." And that's where I met this man. I walked into it was called Juniors on 52nd Street, which was also a hangout for jazz musicians. And that night, Philly Joe Jones was there and Horace Silver. And he goes, "This is Horace Silver. He's a great guy, you know." So it wasn't one of them that took me to this party, but it was another guy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And anyway, so that's that.
Those are the things.
This story can go on for 2 or 3 hours, but I'm not going to go on anymore about that one.
No, but you've got, I mean, these are the things that often set the direction of a young person's life.
It
you know,
did.
Seeing what the possibility is that you've
yes.
never been exposed to before.
Yeah, yeah. And some guy took me to a happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, the piece is called Freedom Work 2, Folk Forms and Variations. What do you mean by folk forms?
Folk forms, jazz is based on folk forms, right? Charles Mingus kind of coined this term because the blues is actually a folk form. And we don't, I mean, you know all about that. If we go over the history of the blues, we know it can be tracked all the way back to Africa. And then when it came to America, it evolved if you ever read the story of the life story of W.C. Handy, you can hear, you'll read about the history of that. But basically, that music that was being, saying it was played back then isn't even, it's tribal music, you know. I mean, it's part of the language. If you listen to any of the languages in Africa, you hear the rhythms and the melodies that we now call the blues, right? It's more complex than that, but I'll stop there. Anyway, so those are folk forms.
George Jeter, you have been working with the NAACP. What does the NAACP in New Mexico do? What's it all about?
Okay, the Santa Fe branch of the NAACP was started in 1981, but The NAACP in New Mexico has an earlier start. The Albuquerque branch is like 100 years old, and it was celebrating its 100th year anniversary just a little while ago. So the NAACP was founded in 1909, and so it's been around a long time, and it's actually been here in New Mexico for a while. However, in Santa Fe, it just started in 1981, the branch. The branch deals with a lot of civil rights and social justice issues, which it takes its charter from the national. And it's surprising that a lot of people aren't aware that there is a Santa Fe branch of the NAACP. The population of Africans in Santa Fe is small, maybe about 1% of the population, somewhere between 800 and 900, according to the 2010 census. But nonetheless, Africans / African Americans are here, and they have been here for a while. And there's a rich history, and it was just great that Lenny Tischler here came to us about 2 years ago with this musical piece, Freedom Work to Folk Forms and Variations, as it's called now, and said, do we think that this piece has any merit, and would the NAACP get behind it? And I went over to his house, and I listened to it, and I said emphatically, yes. This is a piece that needs an audience, and the Santa Fe branch of the NAACP will definitely get behind it. And here we are doing the second iteration of Freedom Work, Folk Forms, and Variations.
This coming Saturday, we're looking forward to that. Now, let's talk a little bit more. I mean, the NAACP is involved with, in Santa Fe and everywhere else, with civil rights issues. What kind of issues are you looking at here, particularly in Santa Fe, and who is your membership? I mean, is it a specifically African-American group, or, you know, all people of color? Or?
Right. Our mantra here in Santa Fe with the NAACP is that we are multicultural, we are nonpartisan, and we celebrate diversity. So our membership is a cross-section of this Santa Fe community. It's not exclusively African or African-American. We have, in our membership, we have folks from all walks of life. And we roll that way here in Santa Fe with the NAACP.
What kind of problems do you face? I mean, what kind of civil rights issues are we looking at in this town?
Okay, we're looking at issues of discrimination, job discrimination. People have employment challenges, and there's challenges in schools that people come to the NAACP for redress. We have a legal redress department committee, and we look at those issues. It could be considered that Santa Fe doesn't have much in the way of racial problems, but in reality, under the surface, there are, and it's vital that an organization such as ours is here so that people have a redress. They can come to us, and we can try to mediate on the first level with some of these issues. Most recently, people may recall that at the Lenzic, there was an episode that happened at the Dave Chappelle show. That is an issue that the NAACP would get behind because we feel that Mr. Chappelle's civil rights were challenged and or violated by him having debris thrown at him. We consider the banana peel as debris. That's garbage. That's waste that was thrown at him, and we feel that that was inappropriate. Behavior like that oftentimes comes into the purview of the Santa Fe branch of the NAACP, and we try to address that.
What are some other kinds of things? I mean, you know, symbolic acts like that are, I think, painful because they bring up 400 years of bad memories.
Yes.
At the same time, from my perspective, the things that really hurt somebody's life are job discrimination, housing discrimination,
yes,
things like that, you know, social ostracism in schools or whatever. What does that actually look like in Santa Fe? I mean, do we have somebody who's turned down for a job or housing because of their skin color in your experience?
Yes, absolutely. And I say that by way of saying that when people contact the NAACP with their complaints, that's how we know about them. You look at schools, and not only is there issues like of bullying and things like that, some of the children of color will be called derogatory names, and it impacts the quality of their education, and their parents and counselors will contact us sometimes, and we will get involved to see that that doesn't happen to children in school. The Santa Fe branch of the NAACP, during Black History Month, we actually go into the schools. We have a read-a-thon program where we read African flavored literature to the school children to let them know that there is a culture around Africans or African Americans, and some of those books are not included in the school curriculum. So what we do is we bring that to the schools so that they know that there is a fourth group here in New Mexico. Not only is there the Anglos and the Native Americans and the Hispanics, but there's also the African. And
not to mention dozens of other
and dozens
ethnicities
of others.
Here.
Absolutely, yes. And they all need to be recognized and acknowledged. And the Santa Fe branch of the NAACP, plug, 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 is here to expedite that and get that out there in the world.
So once again, this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock, the concert is called Freedom Work 2, Folk Forms and Variations. Lenny Tischler is composer of this piece and director of the event. He's a musician as well. George Jeter is past president of the Santa Fe NAACP and also helping coordinate this event. It's at the First Presbyterian Church at 208 Grant Avenue here in Santa Fe. And you can get tickets at the Lenzic box office. You can just go over there, or you can call 988-1234. You can also go online at ticketssantafe.com. And I guess you can also just get them at the door.
I believe so.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
we won't if it's not sold out.
If it's not sold out,
it could
we
won't better turn, hurry and get them.
We won't turn anybody away.
It could be sold out. I want to thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mayor Charlotte. It was great being here.
Yes, thank you very much.